Hey, St. Louis, Eddie McVay here from Bomber O'Brien's, inviting you to watch college football Saturdays and NFL Sundays at Bomber's. Flat screens are throughout the bar, as well as Golden Tee, Buck Hunter, Silver Strike, and dart boards. If you're hungry and thirsty, we have burgers, wings, pizza, salads, as well as great drink specials. So, come see us at Bomber O'Brien's. If you find a fat owner at the end of the bar, he will probably buy you a drink. Bomber O'Brien's at the corner of South Kings Highway and Beck, one block north of Chippewa.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hour number two here on the afternoon drive.
What's the rejoin music situation going to be like on Thursday?
They can add in their own music. I say we just keep playing from that playlist until something's brought up, or they come to you and add more. You got to take initiative to get your playlist used on here, or you could just play whatever you want. I mean, we're going to be on remote. Following that, we're going to be then I'll be gone on Friday, so, and then no show on Monday. I really don't know. What do you think? I mean, Stahl, what are you thinking? What does Stahl use? Do we know what he uses?
Do you know, Gardner? You just kind of nodded your head. What does Stahl like?
Well, you're going to probably have to add some Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
He'll probably, he's kind of heavier in some ways, but also he'll like some hair bands, I'm sure.
Like Nirvana?
Maybe a little older than that.
That mic's not working, but they could probably...
Yeah, you probably hear it through this
that's
one.
That's probably why it's turned around. Okay. What about H? That's the one I'm really curious about, what H's music tastes are like.
Well, we know he likes to do the karaoke.
Yeah.
So does that translate to the music that he wants to sing along with? Or that he wants played for the rejoin? I don't know. Somebody just tweeted out there's a picture of Gene Wilder on the wall of distinguished alumni in the B1G headquarters. How do you get to be distinguished alumni? You gotta realize I'm in the I've come from a conference that is that doesn't have that many names coming from it.
Trying to think of one.
Oh, stop it.
Who? What conference is Western Illinois in?
Summit League.
Summit League.
But you could go by their football, which is, that's Missouri Valley in football.
The Missouri Valley in football.
They double up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Summit League Distinguished Scholars. You want a distinguished alum, right? I just want to get in the Hall of Fame somewhere.
Larry Bird played basketball in the Missouri Valley. But that's not football, Joe.
No. No, it's not.
Eastern Illinois used to be in the Missouri Valley, and I recall that's Tony Romo's alma mater, correct?
It is, yeah.
Okay. So do you claim Tony
Thursday,
Romo?
Thursday, Eastern Illinois, Western Illinois, opening the season.
Boy, Joe, we need to get Eastern and Western going at it in the land of Lincoln. Those record books, tossed out. Throw them out. Don't matter.
Chance to, you know what it is? It's the first chance to own the directional schools in Illinois. Because you have Eastern Illinois you start the season with, and then later in the season you get Southern Illinois.
They don't play Northern?
Too afraid. Northern Illinois, those Huskies, they're just too scared to come on down to Macomb and step onto Hanson Field and play a football game. That's what it is. They won't do the home and home. I think. I have no clue. I'm guessing they're in a nice conference, and they're saying, no, we're not going down a level. No, thank you. Who else do you want us to play? We'll go play them instead.
Those games don't count anymore, so now we're not all that interested.
I know. That's so... Because I'm looking...
Was it Northwestern that you went to once? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was the year they played Wisconsin. Western played in Wisconsin and Northwestern in the same season.
Did they play Wisconsin moderately well?
A few years ago, this was the recent one that I went up for, was the one where the kid fumbled the kickoff, took a step back, and then kneeled down in the end zone, thus starting the game with a safety.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Against the rules.
Yeah, the rules aren't different when you play a Big Ten school when you're from the Missouri Valley. The rules don't change. Oh, I was so mad seeing that. No, the Northwestern game, I wouldn't say they played them close. It was just a terrible game all around.
Well, Northwestern was playing. That's not a great start.
Would that mean, would I have seen Trevor Siemian then?
You probably, how long ago? Was that last year or 2 years ago?
It was 2 or 3 years ago.
Let's look at that box score. Northwestern.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. I guess it could have been within the past 3 years. Trying to think if Hudson had been born yet, when that would have been. So I'm looking at either going up. It'd be the weekend of October 8th that I would go up. That's homecoming. And that would be against Indiana State. But that could also be the weekend that the Cardinals are in Wrigley.
Oh, Joe, I'm not sure we should be counting on that.
Why?
Given recent play by the home club.
All they have to do is win the wild card game. That's the thing. They're still half game up on the Marlins, right?
And the Pirates.
Right.
With
so
the series left
they
are a
game and a half up on both those teams. So they still have a little bit of breathing room. And honestly, they're just going to keep playing the same way they are right now the rest of the season. They're going to squeak into that second wild card game. It's what's going to happen. We know that's what's going to happen. So it's a matter of whether or not that's a coin flip game or not.
You did see Trevor Siemian play.
Okay.
And Northwestern won 24-7.
Told you, it was an ugly,
Siemian
ugly game.
Did not have a great game, 15-25, 117.
Yeah. So look at that. I went to a game and saw an NFL starting quarterback. I saw Denard Robinson, he's running back now for the Jaguars, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I saw him play, too, against Purdue the year or two before that. So, yeah, looking either going October 8th or October 22nd. That's under the lights against North Dakota State. Five-time champion. That's just ridiculous. Hey, we said before we went to break, it's like checking in on your ex-girlfriend. It's like stalking her Facebook page to see who she's with now. And that's how I feel when we go out to the phone line and we welcome in our friend from the LA Daily News, Vinny Bonsignor, to the afternoon drive. Vinny, what's up?
Well, you know, and rumor has it she's lost like 20 pounds.
No!
Not what I hear. Not what I hear.
No!
Not what I hear.
I'm sorry.
Three games into the preseason, it really does seem like, you know, they're kind of going all out for the preseason in an effort to, I guess, make sure the fans are there throughout the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, the fans are going to come regardless, okay? At least for this year. I always kind of cringe when out-of-towners start talking about attendance. I mean, the Dodgers, whether they win 90 or lose 90, draw 3 million people. Same with the Angels. So the Lakers are going through their worst era in history for their history, and they're still selling out. The Clippers sell out all the time. The Kings sell out. So getting people in the stands isn't going to be an issue. They're trying to take that next step from 7-9 to 9-7. And I'm thinking you're alluding to having Case Keenum be the starting quarterback. They believe, if you talk to the Rams, they're convinced that they have the infrastructure in place to be able to carry a good, decent quarterback further than they've been in the last few years. Now, I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but they think that they could be a 9-7, 10-6 team with better quarterback play and, you know, some other weapons that they've added since last year.
One of those weapons being Tavon Austin, who we saw here. We saw the first few years of his career here in St. Louis. And, yeah, he has the potential to have big games, have big plays. But do you think it was necessary to go and lock him up for that much money for that many years?
Well, we're going to find out, in the next few years. I think what they're betting on is that he's going to be a more effective player around Todd Gurley full-time, and then a Tyler Higbee, who's been just a nightmare matchup issue in practice and in games. That guy is going to be pretty good, I think. Farrell Cooper, he's banged up right now, but he's been very effective, already worked his way into the three wide receiver set. So they feel like, you know, with the pieces in place, that even a Kayvon Austin is going to be better off because of who he's now playing with compared to who he was playing with the last couple of years.
Vinny, last year at this time, the talk a lot was two teams in L.A. Those were between the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Have you noticed since January when the move was official that the clamoring in Los Angeles for two teams has died down at all, or is that still high?
Not when you're talking to Raider fans. They still want their Raiders back here in Los Angeles as well. I think it worked out probably the way it should have worked out. With all due respect to St. Louis, not trying to say that St. Louis doesn't deserve a team. I'm not saying that. But from Los Angeles's perspective, I think it's probably better off that, A, it's the Rams. B, they'll get a year or two back into the market before a potential second team arrives. Maybe it's the Chargers. Maybe it is the Raiders if Las Vegas doesn't work out. But I think that there's also a good chance that it's just going to be the Rams. I think that I know Dean Spanos and the Chargers want to stay in San Diego. They're going to take as much time as they have allotted to them to be able to make that happen. I know the Raiders' first choice now is to be in Las Vegas. If they get to Las Vegas, that buys the Chargers more time in San Diego. And I think when all the dominoes finally fall, if everyone has their druthers, the Chargers will stay in San Diego, the Raiders will go to Las Vegas, and the Rams will have Los Angeles all to themselves. So there's, and I think that probably works best for everybody involved.
Kind of seems just exactly how Stan wanted it from the beginning, huh?
Probably. But, what he ended up having to do, which, I think halfway into the whole process, he finally realized, look, it's not going to happen, you alone. Now, it might turn out that it's going to be him alone, but he had to make provisions to have the Chargers be attached to it and the Raiders, secondarily be attached to it so that neither the Chargers or the Raiders were sent back to San Diego and Oakland with the tail between their legs and no options in Los Angeles and no leverage to play their cities or Las Vegas off on a Los Angeles option. So he had to make concessions on that, or otherwise it wasn't going to happen.
Now, we watched the Rams leave this earlier this year, and they're going to play 3 years in the Coliseum while the new stadium is being built. How would things play out for the Raiders if they were to get approved to go to Las Vegas?
Well, right now the plan is to stay. Here's the thing. They have an option on the Oakland Coliseum through 17 and 18. So they'll be there this year. And even if they do get approved for Las Vegas, let's say in January, they would still, it's their option. It's not the city's option. It's their option to stay in Oakland for the next 2 years after that. So I've talked to Mark Davis about this, and he's convinced it would be fine. It would be awkward, of course, if they're on their way to Las Vegas, but he believes that the hardcore Raider fans would still support them and understand, look, I had to do what I had to do. It wasn't working out here stadium-wise in Oakland. I needed a long-range home to be able to solidify this franchise moving forward for the next 30 years. I had to do what I had to do. He thinks that, Raider fans will stick it out in Oakland. I don't know about that. We'll have to see. If I were them, I would look at other options, maybe playing some games here, some games there. They can't do it in Las Vegas because the college stadium there is just, it's not suitable for an NFL full season. They may play a game or two there, per year, but definitely not long range over two full seasons.
Vinny, how is Jeff Fisher being viewed thus far in Los Angeles? And this is going to be a lot of sour grapes. But here in St. Louis, he wasn't viewed especially well last year, and it's even worse now this year. Admittedly, the clip of him saying that's some 7-9 BS from Hard Knocks from that first week has been played more than a couple of times in St. Louis Sports Talk Radio. But is there optimism that he's the right guy because of what he was able to do transitioning the Houston Oilers into the Tennessee Titans and kind of building that up into a winner?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you talk to hardcore Ram fans, and there are many around here, anytime I tweet or report that there's a good chance, and I think it's going to happen, that he and Les Dean are going to have their contract extended sometime before the start of the regular season, there's not a lot of happiness about that. I think they have the same sentiments that the fans and the hardcore fans in St. Louis have, and that's, is he the right guy? Well, if you talk to, to the Rams, the consensus is, look, this isn't a acknowledgement or an acceptance of 7-9. It's an acknowledgement of here's where we were 4 years ago when we hired, you know, Jeff and Les. This is where the roster was at that point in time. Here's where we are now 4 years later. And while you can look at seven, not all 7-9s and equal, are equal. I know Bill Parcells says, look, you are what you are, and they are. They're a 7-9 team until they aren't a 7-9 team. But when you do, and I've, you know, because of covering this team now, you know, you take a dive into their record, into their schedule, and to results, and how wins happen and how losses happen. You know, I'm not so sure. They could easily be 6-10 as they could be 9-7. That's how close they were in so many games. A couple that they won. Many that they lost. They lost three games. I'm not, you know, telling you guys anything that you don't know that were at, that because of missed field goals at the end of the game. Otherwise, they might be in the playoffs, you know, last year. So, again, they are a 6-7 or a 7-9 team, and that's just what they are. But they feel like they're closer than people think. So that it's an acknowledgement of where the roster is and where they feel they are right now and where they're headed in the future by extending Jeff and Les.
This is nothing against the Rams because I haven't watched a single snap of preseason football for any of the 31 other teams in the NFL. Just because
cold turkey, huh, Jeff?
It's not that. Like I'm doing. You know, I have two fantasy football drafts coming up in the next 8 days. I need to do some prep work for it.
The big test will be week one.
Yeah,
how
what?
You want. No, are you just gonna cram? Are you? What are you gonna?
Yeah, I'll cram for it. I mean, I follow on Twitter. I take little notes, mental notes here and there for things, but. No, come week one, like, what is Broncos, Panthers, I will be finding somewhere, or if not at home, to watch that game week one. I will be doing nothing right. But watching football that whole weekend. Yeah, I'm not boycotting the NFL. It's just lack of interest in meaningless games. What does the Rams defense look like? Because I look at it, and I still follow them. They lost Janoris Jenkins. They lost Chris Long. They lost James Laurinaitis. Who did they add?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously they moved Alec Ogletree from outside to inside to replace James. They feel like they got younger, they got more athletic, they got more upside with Alec. And he had a really good game on Saturday against the Broncos after some, you know, he was not happy with the performance by the defense the first 2 weeks. And, you know, cracked some heads to make sure it didn't happen, and it didn't. They played really well. The first string defense played really well against Denver. You know, Mark Barron has moved full-time from safety to outside linebacker to replace Alec Ogletree. They feel like they're going to be fine there, and he's a playmaker and you know, on the verge of doing pretty big things in the NFL. Now, obviously, the Janoris Jenkins position, that's a concern. E.J. Gaines was, you know, the hopeful guy that they wanted to lock down that job, and he moved LaMarcus Joyner inside, you know, where he's better suited, his skill set is better suited in the flat. But unfortunately, E.J. Gaines keeps coming up gimpy. You know, he comes back from the Liz Frank injury and probably predictably, you know, to compensate for that injury or whatever it was that he was doing, he ended up tweaking, you know, a quad and a hamstring type of a thing. So that's lingering. And he was not 100% after the game on Saturday. He may not start the season opener. So you're already starting from a net negative right there as it relates to replacing Janoris Jenkins. And, of course, Rodney McLeod left for Philadelphia as a free agent. The hope is that Maurice Alexander is going to be the guy to replace him full-time, but he's missed the last two games for some sort of an injury. They haven't quite disclosed exactly what that is. So those are concerns. I think the cornerback and safety are much more concerned than, you know, replacing Laurinaitis. They feel like they have a big-time player in making Alec Ogletree to take care of that position.
I've spoken to some, you know, Rams fans here locally, and some of them say things like, I don't want to take a Ram in a fantasy draft, and then there's but if Todd Gurley is available, that would tempt me considerably.
How has he looked
in camp? Because, I mean, he was a joy to watch last year. How's he looked in camp, and what kind of things are they expecting out of him this year?
Well, it's hard to get, you know, first of all, I don't think we need to get a read. We know what this kid's all about. So he's been really, 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 he's basically been in a bubble wrap this entire training camp and the preseason. He played a series, I think it was, last week against Kansas City. So they know that he's the guy. They cannot afford to get Todd Gurley hurt, so they're not putting him in any position where he's not going to be able to start the season ready to go. So he won't play, obviously, on Thursday. He didn't play on Saturday. If I were in, you know, if fantasy football was my thing, I would take this guy. I would take him number one, and I'll tell you why. A, he's better this year than he was last year, at least from a health standpoint. You know, this offseason was purely 100% football. There was no rehabbing from a knee injury or surgery, you know, a few months or 6 months before. So he's got that going for him. He's in better shape than he was last year. And no matter, you know, whether Case Keenum sticks as the number one quarterback or they make the move to Jared Goff at some point, whoever the quarterback is for the Rams is going to need to lean heavily on the running game. And Gurley just happens to be a guy that can run the ball 25, 30 times a game. So I think that if he stays healthy, he's got a really good chance of leading the NFL in rushing, and that's going to come along with a lot of touchdowns. So as from what people tell me, that's a pretty big thing in fantasy football. So if I'm a, even if I'm a disgruntled Ram fan or a divorced Ram fan, set aside those emotions, do the right thing for your fantasy league team, and go ahead and jump on Todd Gurley.
Vinny, back to the relocation. We see that now. You know, it was a big deal a year ago when I said hi to Stan Kroenke and shook his hand face to face, and now you can't get the guy to shut up. How are Dean Spanos and Mark Davis, how are they both acting now that L.A. has a team and now there are other moving parts with this compared to how they were acting a year ago?
Well, you know, a year ago there was just, I think there was a, you know, behind the scenes, there was an understanding and a professionalism that was going on. Everyone played their parts. There were dynamics involved. There were positions involved. There was leverage. There was, everyone had an objective that they were trying to meet. So, you know, they weren't buying drinks for each other, but it wasn't the hatefulness that I think a lot of people portrayed it as. Now, you know, Dean Spanos has told me that I'm cool with, you know, with the Rams, with Stan Kroenke. I'm fine with them. I'm cool with them. We've been friends for a long time, acquaintances for a long time, but that was a bunch of BS that, you know, that was written about that we didn't like each other. So he has a deal in Inglewood, if he needs it. You know, the way Dean has described it to me, look, I got my seat on the L.A. plane. It wasn't a first-class seat, unfortunately. It was a coach seat, but it's guaranteed. I've got my guaranteed seat on the L.A. plane. Now I'm just going to let it ride out here in San Diego. Hopefully it works out. But they know that if it doesn't, and they being San Diego, that if it doesn't, I got a spot in Los Angeles, and if need be, I'll have to exercise it if I have no other, you know, choice. Whereas for the Raiders, you know, they've obviously jumped on this Las Vegas situation with the vengeance. And one of the things about the Raiders, I think the lesson that they learned last year was wherever you go, whether it's staying in Oakland or pursuing San Antonio or now what they're doing in Las Vegas, own it, you know, take control of it. And they have with the Las Vegas thing. With the Carson project, you know, they sort of – that was their backup plan to Oakland. They let Oakland's situation play out in the hopes that it was going to work out for them favorably. It didn't, and Carson was the sort of the backup plan for them. And I think the NFL saw that. They understood, like, you know, the Rams want to go to Los Angeles. You guys want to go there if it doesn't work out in Oakland. So lesson being, wherever you point to, whatever your focus is, go get it and make it your own. And then come back to us, the NFL, and say, hey, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. This is why we think that it's going to work for us. And then you might get the support. You probably will get the support, especially if you get, you know, the financing in Nevada. So that's where they are. You know, is Los Angeles still on their radar? It has to be. If it doesn't work out in Las Vegas for the Raiders, there's really nothing going on in Oakland. So they do have an option in Los Angeles. It's second to the Chargers, but at some point it might be their option if it doesn't work out in Las Vegas and Oakland.
Finally, Vinny, I'm looking at the Rams schedule right now. Let's say, hypothetically, they start the season 0-5, 1-4. What will the Coliseum look like come, you know, week 9, come November, if they are not playing good football? How are the L.A. fans going to react to that?
I mean, are you going to have 90,000 fans there and to support a 2-7 team or a 3-16? Probably not. But I think you're still going to get 70, 75, 80, you know, week in and week out, even in that worst-case scenario. I don't think it's going to go like that. I do know that, I mean, they have a really difficult schedule. But from what I've seen, I think they're going to be competitive. I think they'll be okay. And I think there's, you know, such an appreciation for the Rams coming back. I think that'll buy them some time if it is another lean year this year. But they can't keep stacking them you know, one after another. They're going to have to, you know, compete. They compete at a high level. And that would have been the case in St. Louis. It was. It became the case in St. Louis. You know, they weren't doing well. The fans weren't supporting it as much, and rightfully so. Who wants to go out and see bad football week after week, year after year? It's on the Rams, whether they had stayed in St. Louis or now that they're here in Los Angeles, to get that fixed.
All right, Vinny. Well, we'll be sure to check in with you as the season goes on. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Vinny Bonson, your LA Daily News is where we go out to find him and have him on with us on the afternoon drive. A few people texting in during that interview. Love how this guy looked down on St. Louis during the relocation saga. Now you have to hear his delusions of a marginally competitive team. Careful what you wish for. Now you got it. Have fun watching this two-win franchise struggle. They're not going to be good this year. They're not going to be good this year, unless there's some really big fix that's in and they somehow make a playoff run. But you look at the roster that they have in front of them. This is a worse team than what they had last year.
Yeah,
the team last year went 7-9. This team's worse. That's I looking at it. That's just the way it is.
How much of not so much pro football? So my decision has been kind of to treat pro football the way I treat the NBA. I'm not going to make I'm not going to watch every second of games, but if there's a game on that I want to watch, I'll watch it. But if just because it's a Sunday afternoon doesn't mean I'll watch a football game. But how much of the Rams do you plan on watching?
If they're on, I'll watch them. I mean,
really?
I'm going to watch football this year based on my fantasy game, but based on my fantasy team.
Have you drafted?
No, I have a draft.
All right, you don't have a Ram.
No.
And you're not facing a Ram.
Then if the other game on has there'll be time, maybe I'll watch Todd Gurley. But if the other game that's on, if they're on Fox and let's say I have my running back is Ezekiel Elliott and he's playing a game on CBS, I'm going to be watching Ezekiel Elliott. I will watch games based on I'm going to watch Monday Night Football. I'm going to watch Thursday Night Football. I'm going to watch Sunday Night Football the same way that I always have. My game watching on Sunday during the day. Where in the past it was, okay, the Rams are on. Boy, would I like to watch this game, but I can't. I have to watch the Rams. That will now change to, oh, cool. Okay, Tom Brady's playing. He's my quarterback. I'm going to watch him. This is how I'm going to do it.
I look forward to having Sundays free. There's a good game on. It's usually the Sunday night game. I never really enjoyed the Thursday night games. I think they're poorly played.
Again, the only time I watch those is if I have somebody for fantasy purposes.
Yeah.
And honestly, in September and most of October, I'm watching baseball too.
Oh yeah, so am I.
And if the college game is better, I'll probably watch that as well. 3-4 NFL is better than no NFL. Period. Yeah, the NFL is like pizza. It is. I mean, if you have pizza, you're going to eat pizza. Okay? If I'm sitting there eating vegetables on Sunday, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to go, God, I really wish this was a pizza. I'm not going to sit there and go, ho, they left.
So
not going to watch them.
How are you going to watch the Rams then? So if they're on, say it's week one. They're the second Monday night game, I believe, in Santa Clara.
God, I never stay up for that one.
Neither do I. How are you going to watch them? Like, what's your mindset?
Oh, I'm not going to be sitting there watching, you know, hoping that guys get injured. Like, nothing like that.
But you kind of want them to lose?
Yes! I would love to see them go 0-16. Nothing would make me happier this year than an 0-16 Rams team. The only thing that would make me happier after that is not firing Jeff Fisher after going 0-16 and continuing to keep him around.
I'd rather them go 7-9 for that reason. Because if they go 0-16, there's a legit shot that Fisher gets fired. Because that's abhorrent. 7-9 means he keeps his job. And if we collectively had to suffer through five seasons of Fishernomics, then I want Los Angeles to do so as well. So I want him to go 7-9 in perpetuity.
And it'd just be fun to make fun of Fisher for going 7-9 again. Yeah. I want to see it go as bad as, because yeah, and I guess too, if you do get rid of Fisher, I mean, yeah, sure. There's the case
you might get a real coach.
Yeah, there's a case you might get a good coach and then
yeah,
they start winning.
Yeah, God, we don't want that.
You definitely don't want that. Although there is a chance that you go out and draft another, get another Spags. That too is an option. So, it's just, you know, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it, and I don't have any hopes or dreams or wishes for it. I'm watching it for fantasy football reasons. That's why I'm watching it. Speaking of fantasy football,
what's that, Joe?
DraftKings. Need to get my money in there. Need to get my money in there and start drafting my teams, especially in week one. Because in week one, $5 million in total prizes that they're going to be doling out. $1 million top prize. DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitment. So whatever team you go out there with in week one, you can completely change in week two. You draft your players, you follow your teams live. Couldn't be easier to follow them on your phone or on your computer on Sundays on DraftKings.com. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players. You can seriously cash in week one. Use promo code 920. Play for free with your first deposit. That's 920. Play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes. This week one contest only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Back with Tanner Laws on this day after this. It's the Afternoon Drive.